You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Are friends with fantasy benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Do you think I'm too high? Do you think that's about right? Or do you think that Jose Altuve is just a miniature god?
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
I'm doing well, man. I'm looking forward to talking about what we just described as a weird team.
Yeah, this team is weird.
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
Riddick is another one of those guys. I sort of nearly put him in my hard to rank article because it feels like he's had so many different kinds of seasons over the last few years.
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Darius Austin. Darius, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm looking forward to talking about what we just described as a weird team.
Yeah, this team is weird, and we're talking about the Houston Astros today, and we'll jump right into that. You can follow Darius on Twitter at DariusA64. Follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Let's just jump right into it because I think this is kind of a strangely built team. For the previews that I've been hosting, I've kind of just gone around the diamond, starting at catcher and then moving into the outfield. We're going to do that again, and I think that kind of fits into our theme. They trade for Brian McCann. They have Evan Gattis on this roster. What are you doing from a fantasy perspective in terms of the catchers on this team?
I think I like Gattis better, but it's kind of one of those value picks, really. I'm not sure exactly how people are going to view them. I don't think Gattis is projected for that much playing time at some places, certainly by Fangraphs. I don't think they actually think he's going to play all that much, so I can see that factoring into the valuation. It is a little bit of a strange situation with them in general. I think both of them can provide good power, but it seems like there's a lot of moving pieces at certain spots in the lineup, and I don't mind that in a shallower league, but in a deeper league I might look elsewhere just in case somebody like Gattis doesn't get quite as much playing time as I would like.
I mean, Gattis hit 32 home runs last year, and that to me is like the crazy part of this whole situation between him and McCann. And Ulysses Gurriel, who's supposedly going to man first base, is right now Gattis is the odd man kind of looking in from the outside. And I don't necessarily agree with that from a team perspective, but also I don't buy that super. I'm not buying that right now in terms of a fantasy owner. I really like Evan Gattis. I like, you know, the fact that in a two-catcher league, he seems to be going later than he should. Right now, he's the fourth catcher off the board on NFBC leagues. But, I mean, I just did a dynasty mock where he went, like, outside the top 150. And I know dynasty leagues, you know, are obviously weighted differently. But to me, if you can get him later on as your number one catcher in a two-catcher league, I think he's going to be a nice value because he's going to hit for power. I don't know if it necessarily will be on Houston. He may get moved still, and that was been one of the rumors that have been floating around for quite a bit, but it just hasn't quite happened as of, you know, mid-January. So as the month goes on, the offseason goes on, I could still see him get moved, but I don't think there's any way they keep him on the bench full-time in Houston. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, it seems like a bit of a weird decision.
Yeah, I mean, the power in that bat, especially when you're fielding a guy like Gurriel, just doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, McCann, I think, will probably play more first base than maybe people are really believing he will right now. So I think that could open up Gattis getting some playing time at catcher. Gattis can still play first base. I don't think there's any spot in the outfield for him right now. Though, who knows, if they want to run him out there on times where Aoki is against a left-handed or a left-handed pitcher. A left-handed pitcher. So McCann I still like as a pretty decent value going as the ninth catcher off the board. Only hit 20 home runs last year, but I could easily see that either staying steady or going up quite a bit. Walked 11% of the time, so in your OBP formats, he's a pretty decent value at the catcher position. What are your thoughts on Brian McCann?
Yeah, I like the walks. It does sort of give that baseline. He's always had a pretty terrible BABIP, so I think we can expect that the batting average to stay low, but catcher, you don't really care about that. And he's been a very reliable 20 home run hitter going back, I think, the last 10 seasons now, 9 or 10 seasons. So I think pretty dependable there. And I think the context is probably a little bit better for him now than it was with the Yankees last year, who only really sort of came to life when Gary Sanchez turned up and McCann was no longer really relevant. I think he could be a decent pick, decent value, kind of as a back-end catcher with fairly reliable 20 home run power.
Yep. What about Gurriel? I mean, is he a guy that you are interested in any format?
I don't really know what to make of him. He doesn't seem like a guy who projects to have that exciting a skill set for fantasy. From what I've heard from the scouting reports, and that he seems more like a kind of a 15 home run hitter maybe, and doesn't have like that exceptional plate discipline or anything. So I'm not expecting him to be useful in OBP leagues either. So I'm not too excited, and I wouldn't be surprised if just the fact that he is a Cuban import pushes up his value a little bit to the point where I don't really want to take a shot on him.
Yeah, I don't think he has an exciting profile either. I mean, he's a guy that probably will hit around 260, 270. His power upside is limited, like you said. I like you, have seen kind of the projections out there for 14 to 16 home runs. I don't even know if I believe that amount of power after watching him last season. I think a lot of us got really, really excited because these Cuban prospects, these Gurriel brothers were coming over, and we were like, oh man, this is going to be, another awesome Cuban import. And I think both these guys are disappointing from fantasy perspectives. And I think the name value is the only thing keeping them even afloat within the fantasy industry at all. So I don't want anything to do with them. And like I said, I think, whether it's McCann or Gattis, I think, someone else is playing first base the majority of the time by midseason anyway. So, or even A.J. Reed gets a call up and they try to give him another crack at it. Let's go ahead and move over to second base. Jose Altuve, he is my number two player in fantasy. Do you think I'm too high? Do you think that's about right? Or do you think that Jose Altuve is just a miniature god?
I have a little bit lower. I'm still kind of trying to decide what to do with the whole group of third basemen there. And I sort of keep looking at Altuve thinking I'm going to move him up, and I haven't actually done it yet. I do think 2016 is probably the career year we're going to see from him, certainly in terms of home runs. But other than that, he's an incredibly reliable batting average contributor. Doesn't strike out very much, and he's really, really durable as well. His career low in games played sort of over a full season is the 147 he did back in 2012. So that gives you some idea of how regularly he sticks in this lineup. So I think he's an incredibly good pick. Don't really have anything bad to say about him.
All right. I don't think we need to chop it up too much about Jose Altuve. Obviously, he's a stud. And feel free to just, take the miniature god and put him in your pocket. let's move over to Carlos Correa, who got quite a bit of helium last year. Disappointed fantasy owners in terms of where he went in drafts. Do you think he is more appropriately ranked this year?
Yeah, I do. I think people were down just because he was a first rounder and the numbers weren't that flashy. He didn't stand out in anything. It was kind of across the board good, but not elite. And I think this year you're probably getting, it looks like, about a round or so discount based on what I've seen so far. And I think he's obviously still incredibly young. He's going to turn 23 in September. So that's pretty crazy. I think there's a lot of upside left to come from him. And I think I like the value where he's going at the moment.
Yeah, I do too. And I mean, I've seen him go. He's currently going as the number 16 overall player, first shortstop off the board. And while I don't know if I would pull the trigger on him there, I've seen him go quite a bit later. I've seen him go outside the top 20 picks, top 24 picks. And so if I can get him there, I'm really excited. And would you rather have him or Corey Seager?
I think I would rather have Correa, actually. Yeah, I think it's a better park. Probably, I'm not necessarily sure that this is a better lineup, but I think it will play for fantasy as though it is, because Dodger Stadium is not a great place to hit. And I do think there's probably more upside to come from Correa than from Seager.
I think it is a better lineup. I think, like you said, it will play better, definitely because Dodger Stadium isn't the hitter's park that the Astros play in. And I think he gives you better all-around production. You know, he doesn't have the elite stats in terms of elite power or elite average that Seager seems to give. But I like that he throws in, you know, 15 stolen base potential. And really, you know, I think that maybe we could see a little bit more of a mix between 2015's numbers and 2016's numbers. Even though they look similar, you know, he did 2015 in less than, or 200 less plate appearances. And I think this is a year we could see him hit 25 home runs, steals, you know, 16 or so bags, you know, hit the 275, 280 average, and be really happy with kind of what we got from him. So I think because of the overall production, I think I'll take Correa, and I think in certain drafts you get him at somewhat of a decent discount. So let's move over to third base, where we have Alex Bregman, a guy who seems to be getting a fair amount of helium this year. Are you in on Alex Bregman?
I don't think I'm in enough to the point where I would need to be to draft him. I'm pretty excited. I think he obviously had a terrible start to his career. It was something like a 1-for-35 streak or something awful, and then he kind of broke out of it and actually went on a pretty nice run to end the season. So I think certainly long term he's going to be a good player. And he made adjustments quicker than I expected him to. But I also think he might just get pushed up those draft boards a little bit too much for me in the early going. And I think there are probably still some adjustments to come this season, which might limit his upside a little bit.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with Bregman is what we saw a little bit with Mikel Franco last year. In a young third baseman, everybody thinks he's ready to break out and being drafted really highly. If he has like a huge spring training like Franco has, watch out, because I mean he will just vault up those draft boards. Currently, he's already been taken inside the top 100 picks, the 10th third baseman off the board, in front of Longoria, in front of Jose Ramirez, in front of Franco, in front of Jake Lamb and Justin Turner. And I mean, to me, I love the long term future, and I think maybe I underestimated him when he was drafted by the Astros, because I did not think he would turn into the player he's turning into. I don't think this is the year he has the huge breakout. I think he nibbles around the edges. I think he's probably a top 15 third baseman, but to me, top 10 is too high. He's going right in the round the same spot as Anthony Rendon. That to me is insane. I don't think there's any chance I'm owning Alex Bregman this year. Let's move out into the outfield. George Springer has been a guy that I have loved for a long time. You know, I mentioned in one of our first ever episodes, oh so long ago, I made the comment that I would drink George Springer's bathwater, I think this is the year that I can't take it anymore. I think he is overvalued, and everybody's still holding on to the tantalizing almost 40-40 season he had in the minor leagues. What are your thoughts on George Springer?
Yeah, I'm kind of similar. I always liked him, and you know, I love guys who know how to take a walk, and Springer's always had a double-digit walk rate even when he first came up. So I like that about his profile. The concerning thing for me is that the speed doesn't seem to have come. Only 9 stolen bases last year, and so I think that does cap his upside a little bit. I think we could maybe expect a little bit more power still. I think the 29 home runs could go up. I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But without the double power speed threat, I have some questions about his overall upside. So I think, I'm not sure exactly, I think he went about 27th. Yeah, 27th overall in our mock. I'd like to get him a little bit later than that if I can kind of get him sort of more in towards the end of the third round. I think I'm fine with that value. But I agree that I'm not sure that the season that we all saw from him coming is ever going to turn up now. He's 27.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently going as the number 32nd overall player off the board in NFBC leagues, the number 6 outfielder. And I understand why people are still excited about him. To me, the stolen bases, it's the efficiency. He was caught stealing 10 times in 19 attempts. Like, you just can't do that. And if you continue to do things like that, you're going to get a red light. And because, you know, I mean, there's nothing worse for a team than you getting on base, you know, to lead off an inning, and then you getting picked off or you getting thrown out at second when you've got, you know, one of the best, you know, hitters in baseball and Jose Altuve behind you and Carlos Correa coming up third. So I think there's a real shot that Springer just doesn't get the green light to run as much. Yeah, he'll probably throw in, you know, a handful of stolen bases, but I don't think we're ever going to see the 20, 30 stolen base seasons that we thought we were going to at the major league level. And because of that, he's overrated. Now, does he still have that upside? Yes. I think this guy, if everything came together for him, could be a 30-30 guy and worthy of a first-round pick in fantasy. I can no longer bank on, or I can no longer invest the price that you have to get him at to try to attain that upside, because I think the percentage shot that he does that is just too small. Let's move over and talk about Josh Reddick, who signed a big deal to come and play in right field for the Astros. What are your thoughts on Reddick this year?
Reddick's another one of those guys. I sort of nearly put him in my hard to rank article because it feels like he's had so many different kinds of seasons over the last few years. He had the 32 home runs back in 2012. He's had years where he's walked a lot, years where he seems to have struck out a lot. I don't quite know what to expect from him. I've kind of always liked him as a player, but he's very difficult to predict, I think. And his last couple of seasons, certainly the 2015 was okay with the 20 homers and the 10 steals, but last year was pretty underwhelming, and he's also been a player who's never really kind of managed to stay on the field that much, apart from the one big season in 2012. So I kind of like him as sort of a later flyer in a league, maybe sort of as a fifth outfielder, but anything more than that, I think there's a little bit too much risk and uncertainty for me to take the shot on him.
Yeah, I think the one thing you can project with him is he won't play a ton of games. I mean, 3 of the last 4 seasons, he's missed at least, you know, 40 games. So I think there is a pretty good probability that he doesn't make it back to the 149 games played that we saw in 2015 when he hit those 20 home runs. I mean, I think he's a guy that you can bank on for double-digit home runs and probably close to double-digit stolen bases with a decent average. But I just don't think he's going to accumulate enough plate appearances because of his injury issues to really, you know, reach any sort of upside. Steamer has him projected at 18 home runs. I don't think I can do that. I mean, I think I can project him for maybe 13 or 14 and feel comfortable. But even that, to me, is pushing it because he only played 115 games last year. You know, I mean, there's no reason to expect that in a lineup that is as crowded as it is in Houston, that he can stay healthy and be on the field for, you know, 140, 150 games. I just don't believe it. Carlos Beltran also signing a deal to come to Houston to be their DH, further complicating the Evan Gattis situation there. What are your thoughts on Carlos Beltran?
Yeah, I quite like the move. He had a nice little season in New York, and then coming over to Texas as well. I think the home runs were probably a little bit on the high side. He started out very hot and did sort of tail off towards the end of the year. So I think the Steamer projection of 20 is more like a reasonable-ish expectation, and then hope for a few more on top of that. But I quite like the signing. I think he's always been a very good hitter, and I think the real question for me is just the fact that he will be turning 40 in April, and just sometimes players, you know, they hit this wall and that's it. So I think that's always going to be a little bit of a concern at the back of my mind, but he's got an incredibly long track record, and I think he'll give you a decent amount of power, and he'll probably hit in a nice spot as well.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to pay very much for him. He's currently going as the 49th outfielder off the board, 207th overall. But there's still guys, like, this is my argument against people who are like, well, outfielder is extremely deep. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're in a 15-man league, people are arguing the outfield is shallow. And if you're in a 15-man league, yes, outfield becomes more shallow as you get deeper. But I think every position, for the most part, does. I mean, currently going, like I said, 49th outfielder off the board. But he's going right in the Jock Peterson, Nomar Mazara, Yasiel Puig, Randall Grichuk, Eric Thames, Max Kepler, Arajé Davis area. I think I'd like all those guys more than him. You know, I think maybe I would take Beltran over Grichuk. But I think the rest of them, I don't think I would take Beltran. And I don't think that's necessarily a slight against him. And I think in some leagues you're going to get ageist people that push him down even further, and that's, I think, maybe where I would take a shot on him. But I worry, even though he's going to DH, I worry about health, on, you know, how old, you know, how well can his body put up at age 40, and I don't think that the 20-line home runs that we saw last year are legitimate. I think he's probably more of a 20 to 23 kind of home run hitter for next season. So I think he is a decent value, but I think there are a lot of guys in that area that are also decent values. Any shot you're going to take a gamble on Nori Aoki?
I've always liked Aoki as a player. He had some pretty terrible months last year. I can't really see myself picking him up. He's just the kind of guy who I think playing time is going to be a little bit of a question. Probably going to get platooned, and I don't see the upside in him. I think he's a lot more useful as a real life piece than he is for a fantasy. So as much as I like him, I can't really see myself owning him in any leagues.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I'm just going to move on. Let's move on to the rotation. Dallas Keuchel, any chance he can regain kind of what we saw from him a few years ago?
I think he did get unlucky last year. I'm not going to predict the kind of form that got him to Cy Young contender. But I don't think it will be as bad as it was in 2016, and obviously killed quite a few seasons there. I think, yeah, expect sort of 200 innings of a decent ERA, not too many strikeouts. But I think he'll come at a much better discount this year than he did in 2016. So not the world's most exciting pick, but I do expect a bounce back from him.
Yeah, I expect a bounce back as well. But like you, I don't expect him to bounce back to the 2014-2015 levels. I'm looking for him on the NFBC list. He's currently going as the 36th starting pitcher off the board, 143 overall. I think that's actually pretty fair value. There are a couple guys in that area I like more, a couple guys I like less, but I don't think there's anything to scream about one way or another with Keuchel. I just worry about maybe the innings workload that he's had the last few, you know, that he had in 2014, 2015 when he was dominating. Maybe that's what's kind of, you know, kind of wearing on him. Maybe there are some longevity issues, and will we see him? Will we see him break down at some point? And so, to me, I think I would take a shot on him given given where he's going, but I just don't see the tremendous upside in the guy considering what his strikeout numbers look like and in the park and division he plays in. So take that for what you will. Let's move over. Colin McHugh's, Michael Fiers. Either of these guys worth owning?
I think in the deeper league, kind of towards the back of rotation, I'm okay with them. I've always kind of liked both of them at various points because I felt like they had a little bit of upside and then they've gone out and disappointed at various stages. So I no longer sort of have the optimism that they'll vault any higher than where they've been. But yeah, I don't mind picking up McHugh and Fiers as sort of a maybe a fifth or sixth starter just to kind of be relatively dependable options and give you a few strikeouts, if not elite.
Yeah, I think Fiers, and we talked about this a little bit prior to recording, I think Fiers probably ends up in the bullpen because Musgrove, a guy we'll talk about here in a moment, I think his future is in the starting rotation, and Fiers is the logical option to move to the bullpen, and I think that's just probably where his skill set will work better. McHugh's a guy that I've always liked as kind of a back-end guy in 12-team leagues, or a guy you can stream pretty easily because he's, you know, typically available on the waiver wire. Nothing special, but I think he can offer a little bit of help throughout a season. Let's talk about Lance McCullers, though, real quick, because he was a guy that got a lot of helium last year. People were really, really excited, was injured quite a bit, and this year, the hype hasn't returned to the level I thought it might. What are your thoughts on Lance McCullers?
I'm pretty excited. He's got a ludicrous curveball, so the stuff is really good overall. I think he can put together a good ground ball rate to go with it as well. He showed that last year, and obviously huge strikeout upside. From what I'm reading, it doesn't seem like there's too much concern about the injuries that really limited him in 2016. I wonder if that's still maybe what's depressing his value slightly, because obviously we still haven't seen him have a full campaign in the majors. But if he's going at the kind of price that he is now, I think I'm going to be picking up on quite a few drafts because he seems like he can be your kind of maybe number four with ridiculous upside, and I really like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I just traded for him in a dynasty league that you and I are in. I traded Jonathan Scope for him. I feel pretty good about that. You know, the health reports look good. Now, you know, there's always been concern about his ability to, you know, whether he'd be able to stay on the field, whether elbow problems would be coming down later on in his career. My only concern for this year is how many innings do we see from McCullers? He only threw 81 innings in the majors last year, just under 90 innings if you include, you know, some minor league stints. So I worry that there's no way that he can get to the 184 innings that Steamer projects for him. I think that's a little bit insane that he would get that much of an innings jump. I think I'd be more comfortable projecting him in the 150 range, but you're getting elite strikeouts, you're getting very good ratios, and you're right, you're getting probably a starting pitcher number four, with starting pitcher number two upside, and that to me is a guy I'm always willing to buy in on. Currently, he is going as the 51st pitcher off the board, 196 overall. I'm all over him at that price. I will take him in every draft if that's the case, because that's pretty much, like, you could pretty much say the exact same things I just said for Rich Hill, and Rich Hill is going, you know, almost 100 picks before him.
Yeah, definitely. I think the control is the one area that McCullers needs to iron out,
sure,
that Hill has already mastered. But when you've got that kind of discount on it, I'll most definitely be doing the same. Hopefully won't be in too many drafts together.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have McCullers walking five guys per nine. That definitely is not, but I don't think that'll happen again. I think that's a little bit of a small sample. I think he showed in 2015 he can walk a few less, though not obviously not in the same in ballpark as Rich Hill. But still, I think at pick 200, you're getting some pretty nice upside. Let's talk about Musgrove. Is he a guy that you'd be willing to invest in and maybe stash in case he doesn't start the year in the major league rotation?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty interesting guy. I love the control he showed in the minors, walking less than one per nine at some levels, which is pretty incredible. That didn't quite translate to its full effect in the majors, but in his first sort of 60 innings, it was still a pretty good rate. And I think there's definitely some upside here. So, yeah, he's certainly a guy that I'd be willing to stash and wait and see what happens with this rotation and whether Fires gets moved to the bullpen or the Charlie Morton experiment doesn't pan out. I think Musgrove could be a pretty interesting guy, even who might get drafted by other teams and then get dropped pretty quickly when it becomes clear that he's not starting the rotation. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, I think in deeper formats, he's worth a stash. But I think you're right. In, like, 12-team formats, he's probably a guy you're going to find on the waiver wire at some point. Because I agree, either Charlie Morton isn't going to pan out the fifth spot in the rotation, or Fires gets moved to the bullpen. You know, he's a guy that I think has some interesting upside, but I don't think he is a high ceiling guy. But I also don't think he's a low floor guy. So I think if he does get added to the major league rotation, you could easily see him as, you know, an 8 strikeout per nine kind of guy. That doesn't walk too many guys, doesn't, you know, give up too many home runs, but it isn't necessarily anything super special, but someone who could be a nice little anchor in your rotation, especially in deeper formats. Let's move to the bullpen. Ken Giles, is this the year he turns into an elite closer?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was the second half of last year, really. It was a really, really awful start to the season, and I know I actually found him on the waiver wire in one league from somebody who's just obviously got completely fed up. But actually, his strikeouts were the best of his career, and it was just that rough start which sort of made his overall line look unpleasant. But I think he struggled a little bit with his control early on, and he got some bad luck, and it sort of all compounded onto itself. And once he ironed that out, he just looked like same old dominant Ken Giles. So I think he will make that step up. I've got him ranked pretty highly this year, sort of not too far behind that elite group of closers. So I'm pretty confident in him, and I think he'll have this job all year and do a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I've never been necessarily the biggest Giles supporter. I mean, last year, in one of my bold predictions for Fangraphs last year, I said that Gregerson would have more saves, and I was almost right. On the last day of the season, I believe it was, Giles got a save to tie Gregerson for the team lead. And so, I mean, I was a little bummed that didn't work out. It was a decent prediction for me, though. Because I was able to get Gregerson late and then, you know, jump on Giles when people dropped him. I don't think of myself as a guy who's been extremely high on him, especially even this year, but I seem to keep getting him in drafts. He seems to keep dropping. And I think that is a little bit insane. I think you're getting him at a discount that maybe you shouldn't. So I think Giles is a guy that, if you miss out on some of the elite closers, I think has the ability to become an elite closer with elite strikeouts, elite ratios, and isn't being treated as such. I mean, I think I would rather have him over O. I think I would rather have him over Wade Davis and his injured or potentially injured elbow over Alex Colome. So there are guys that I've seen him go behind that are getting a little bit too much love, in my opinion. All right. Anybody else in the bullpen you want to talk about?
I think it's a pretty interesting bullpen overall. I think there's quite a few high upside options in terms of strikeouts and holds to look at. There's not really one specific guy. Gregson's obviously been reliable for a while. I think Will Harris has had some very impressive results. And even Chris Devensky had a pretty nice year last season. I know they've talked about moving him to the rotation, so we'll see how that plays out in spring training. But if he goes back to the bullpen, then I like him as well. So yeah, I think if you're looking for bullpens with sort of a lot of options and likely to find someone on the waiver wire, then this is a pretty good place to look.
Alright, why don't you tell people where you can reach Darius and what you're working on?
So you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I will be contributing to BP Wrigleyville very soon, so I'm very excited about getting on board with that. I'm also going to be working on some stuff. I've started doing my rankings over at Fantasy Pros, where I've got a profile of Ian Desmond up, but I'm also kind of looking at the players that I differ the most from the consensus on. So I'm going to try and get something up next week about my biggest differences and why I believe or don't believe in those players. So look out for all of that.
Awesome. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Read a lot of my baseball stuff up at FanGraphs. Got an article that goes up there at least once a week, usually on Wednesdays. And then I've got other stuff going up on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Definitely give the podcast a rate and review. It really helps us out, especially if it's of the five-star variety. If you send a screenshot of a five-star review to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or at @fantasybenefits on Twitter, I'll make sure you get into a listener league or are eligible to win other prizes later on in the off season. That will wrap us up. For Darius and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.